Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State Athletics Podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. And this is the post-game podcast edition of Oklahoma State's 27-13 victory over West Virginia. Lots to get to, and we'll try to break it all down for you. But let's start with what really stuck out more than anything. Another really impressive defensive performance, Jacob.
This defense, I think, is for real.
I think they are.
And we kind of expected that, possibly,
right,
entering the season, considering how they finished last season and everyone coming back. But to do this, it was a little more bend and don't break today than it was last week against Tulsa.
Right.
But that's kind of expected against a Big 12 offense, I think.
Yeah.
But when you look at what this defense accomplished today, and I'm terrible at the numbers off the top of my head, but I think it was, 11?
Tackles for loss.
11 tackles for loss, 9 quarterback hurries, and 5 sacks, six pass breakups.
I
mean, they're all over the place right now, and they are wreaking havoc. Jarrett Doggie, right? Deggie. I always mess his name up.
Me too.
Dang it. Sorry. If his family somehow listens to this, I'm sorry. Jarrett Doggie looked very uncomfortable today.
Yes.
Looked like he was in a lot of pain, probably.
I don't know how he made it through the game. I would not have survived the second hit of the day.
No.
Much less the other 15 that he took.
OSU unloaded on him.
They did.
And he kept coming, but props to him.
Yeah.
But that just kind of, I think, illustrates, when you look at those numbers and the beating that he took, it illustrates how dominant OSU's defense was today.
It really was. You know, it was interesting because you felt like the tackling early on especially wasn't quite as good as last week.
Mm-hmm.
But their tackling last week was phenomenal. And they were giving up some third down conversions, which wasn't as good as last week. But last week they were batting 1,000 on third down stops.
Yeah.
So that wasn't going to continue forever. So you knew that that there were going to be some of those things, but they just kept coming up with plays when they needed to have them. You get the strip and the scoop and score. Trace Ford with the strip, and then Tyron Irby with the scoop and score, even though he almost got Leon Lettet at the end of the play. Still impressive. How about Jim Knowles talking about that? That was fabulous.
I'm really glad that I brought that up with Knowles.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Jim Knowles has a very dry humor about him. I have not experienced it too much, to be honest. But we got to experience it tonight. I asked about it, just kind of I asked if he thought Tyron was going to be caught or not.
Right.
Because it looked like there was a good chance he was being caught.
Yes.
And he said, "You don't want to know what I was thinking at the time." He said, I don't think I can repeat it. He said, fortunately, he was in the coach's box. So he had kind of, he said, it's kind of like screaming at your TV. keep going, get there, secure
the ball.
He didn't like that Tyron was running out of steam.
Yes.
He didn't like the way Tyron was holding the football, like it was, I guess, what, the loaf of bread thing, I would assume.
Right.
But then, you know, he said a little bit of peace and love. They can coach that better. And it was like comedy hour with Jim Knowles.
He was great.
He's got every reason to be in a good mood right now.
Yeah.
And the only negative thing that I really saw all day, besides the first half tackling, was they just couldn't defend the slant very well in the middle of the field.
Right.
But as Jenny kind of said to us in the press box afterwards, maybe that's the fault of the pass rush. You know, that's something that you lose with pass rush, maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know. But if that's what you could complain about right now, and considering the way they performed, then I think they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, they really are. You know, so many guys stepping up and making plays and just looking overall fantastic. Rodarius Williams sets a career high with 4 pass breakups. Eamon Ogbong-Bamiga, career high with 13 tackles. He had guys just all over the place. Jim Knowles talked about how Eamon was really frustrated with the way that he played last week, and came out and had a really impressive performance today. I was really close to leading my story. I wrote about the defense, and I was really close to leading my story with the sack that he had, because it was ideally performed by him. He wasn't a rusher. He was holding back, and it was kind of mirroring Daigie as he was moving around in the pocket, and then the hole opened up and he zipped right through and put Daigie on his back. So and then of course West Virginia ends up driving down and getting the field goal, and I ended up writing about that sequence instead. But still, a really impressive day from Amon today. There were so many guys you can talk about on this defense who made big plays today.
You mentioned Rodarius. There was a point in that first half I kept thinking, why are they still throwing to him?
Right.
Because he had three pass breakups really fast in the game. And I thought, what are they doing?
Like, yeah.
You're challenging the best corner they have.
And yeah.
He was just swatting the ball away like it was nothing. It was so impressive to see how, and Rodarius was really good last year, I thought, too. But you just notice the difference in him right now, the way he's defending. And he mentioned that he felt like he could see, he knew everything that, I think he said 13. I don't remember the name, but he said 13, the way that he knew everything he was going to do just from studying film. That's an advanced level play.
Yeah. Yeah, right, absolutely. There. That's a senior and a fourth year starter right there, that is fully bought in to committing to studying film and doing the things that need to be done to have success on Saturdays. And it's really paying off for Rodarius. He's playing incredibly well right now. Let's move over to the offensive side of the ball for a moment. Obviously. Actually, while we're as the crossover, let's throw this out there. How about you and I both hitting our wild predictions on the same day?
Yeah, take that. Yeah.
And just for the sake of explaining how rare this is the fourth time in now my fourth season covering Oklahoma State football since I started doing this that I've gotten one correct. Period. I'm averaging one per season at this point.
You wasted your one. You're done for the year.
I did. I'm done.
Congratulations.
Now. I'm done. It's all over now.
This might be the only one I've gotten whenever I've done them. And for those who don't know, I predicted that L.D. Brown would outrush Chuba.
Right.
Which he did by 2 yards.
By 2 yards, 103 to 101.
It counts. It counts. That's all I'm saying. And you predicted 5 sacks.
I did. Defense,
and they hit that right on the nose.
They did. They got two of them on the final series, which is sort of like yours. It counts.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
Listen, when Chuba scored that 23-yard touchdown in the last, I was doing math. the stats took a little bit to update, and I was doing math. I was like, wait a second.
Right.
I might have this still.
Yeah. we'll start with the good from the offense. There was a little bit of negative to discuss, but on the good side of things, they had 200-yard rushers on the day, two guys who come up each with a big touchdown run at a crucial time. L.D. Brown with his early, and Chuba with his late. Simplified the passing game to the point that they were making some easy throws for Shane Illingworth to try to complete. I think that they were pretty well set. Gundy said that Spencer Sanders could have played, but I think that they were pretty well set on not playing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of feel like that might be the case next week too.
Yeah.
But that's a conversation for later. But. But I think that they pretty much went into the week expecting Shane Illingworth to be the guy, and they designed the playbook and the game plan around that, and gave him some opportunities to get into find a rhythm, get comfortable in the game. They had the one deep throw early, which was nearly completed and would have been a huge boost. But after that, they went to some wide receiver screens and some other short throws that left him the opportunity to get comfortable in the game. So I thought that was important.
Do you think that if he had completed that pass, they might have taken more chances?
Maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know why they didn't go back to throwing deep again, really. I mean, I know that they weren't getting the one-on-one looks that that they got against Tulsa with Tylan out there, obviously. But it kind of surprised me they didn't try to go deep again at any point. And I don't know if that was a change in what West Virginia did that mm-hmm. they were doing on that first play that they got away from. Because it wasn't a bad throw. The throw was on the money. Mm-hmm. Just
hit the ground through Stoner's arms.
Stoner couldn't quite hang on to it. It was a tough catch. It was nothing that he did wrong. Just that's the way it went. So it was really close to a great play. And mm-hmm. so I was a little surprised they didn't go back to trying that a little bit more. But that said, also surprised at how well they ran the ball against a defensive line that really looked like they had a chance to give them some fits early on.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line, I thought, stood up pretty well for the most part.
Right.
Not great still. Nothing like last year's offensive line that would just dominate teams up front.
Right.
You know, they're still working through some things, I think, but you like to see growth, especially after last week. I felt like kind of after last week they had nowhere to go but up, to be honest. But,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it opened up things. I mean, when you have those 200-yard rushers, Des Jackson, I thought, moved the ball somewhat well, too, when he got to
mm-hmm.
– he had some decent holes to run through. You know, it they protected Illingworth. He only got sacked once.
Right.
So, you know, I felt like the offensive line did an adequate job.
Yeah.
Which is maybe what you need right now from this offensive line. It's hard to tell. But against that pass rush, I was impressed. And now they just got to figure out how to get Chuba going.
That's the most interesting thing about this team right now is that Chuba just looks lost.
Yeah.
He's not – there's something off about him and his whole aura right now. It doesn't feel dangerous when he touches the ball the way that it did last year. Obviously he put the ball on the ground twice today. I thought he was done at that point when he fumbled twice, and they recovered both. They kept both. They never lost the ball. But when he put the ball on the ground twice, I thought, but that's it for him. He's done.
Yeah.
We're not going to see him the rest of the day, but sounded like LD was having some cramping issues, and then you know, you get to the point that you can only trust a guy that you've never played before so much in Des Jackson. So felt like they were maybe more comfortable with Chuba than with Des at that point. So they ran him out there, and he had his best run of the season probably, even with the touchdown run with a nice cutback. And then kind of went with the flow from there and got into the open field and was gone. So,
yeah, he had a couple runs that second half that I thought, hey, there's the Chuba
right.
that we saw last year.
Right.
But then there would be times that you're just like, who's this Chuba? Like,
yes.
It got to the point that you knew the difference without looking at jersey numbers between him and LD at times.
Mm-hmm.
You could just tell, and not just body build stuff, just the way they were running.
Right.
Who had the ball.
Exactly. How about LD? Man, that dude is playing really well right now.
He really is, and it's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He has so much fun. I wrote about it probably three different times, three different ways on our website, but his Cabbage Patch dance to honor Thurman Thomas, I thought was one of the best moments of the day.
Oh, absolutely.
He was really fun about that in post game. And here's the thing about LD too. I just love talking with LD.
Oh, he's by far my favorite guy on the team to talk to.
Yes. I mean, he's so such a delight. Like, he's just such a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
And to see him have this success is really kind of cool, you know?
It is.
And because you know he hated how he played last year.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's a senior now, and he gets this chance. It's so much fun to watch. But I thought it was interesting. He's working on picking Chuba up too. He was pretty right. open about that.
Yeah.
And he knows Chuba's going to be fine. And I think he still respects the idea that, you know, he's behind Chuba,
mm-hmm.
and you know he's going to push Chuba to figure some things out. And I think Gundy's a little A little more trusting of LD right now, which is pretty interesting because I thought it was telling when LD opened the second half as a starting running back in the second half and not Chuba.
Yeah, that was absolutely a fascinating turn of events for them to go out there and run LD out there in that situation starting the half when it's a time when you want to make some plays, gain some momentum, and they put the ball in his hands and run him out there to start the half. So definitely interesting. I thought the going back to the offensive line, for them to take on the challenge of what I think is one of the best defensive lines in the Big 12 and hold their own enough to open up some running lanes the way that they did with two guys out. The entire right side of their line that they thought was going to be the right side of their line was gone to injury in the first half of the first game of the season. And to rebound the way that they did was pretty impressive. Obviously, you know, they had settled in from their musical chairs from last week and were a lot more comfortable in their spots. I think that was one of the most important factors, but also to take on that challenge and come out on the right side of it and be able to run the ball the way they did and protect Shane Illingworth the way that they did. Was pretty impressive. I'm with you. I think that they can be better. I don't think that they're a great offensive line because of this. I just think that they certainly perform better than I expected. I guess is what I'm trying to get around to. They play better than I expected them to. So, Illingworth I thought was solid. His interception, you know, that's the case of a guy just getting lost in coverage, a young guy, you know, holding the ball for a long time. And he was protected incredibly well because he stood there forever before he threw that pass.
I think he kind of sold it with I think he'd stared down a little bit too much, too. I think there was a couple things that a rookie quarterback will do in that situation that he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? One thing I would say about Illingworth is I'd like to get some sort of metrics from somebody. Who's faster, him or Mason Rudolph?
That would be interesting, you know. He's got the little bit longer legs. I think he could probably take him.
Man, I don't know.
He's been put in some situations where he had to try to move laterally a little bit.
Yeah, that's
and he's
not good.
Really slow.
Yeah,
going laterally. I think you get him going straight. I think he could build up some speed.
Yeah. Though I didn't like the little short one he did in the little slide he did at the last minute, and he got popped a little
bit.
Yeah,
no. He's so big, it takes him a while to get down.
Yeah.
It's not a good situation when he's needing to slide. So that was a little bit scary because he got wrong a little bit on that one. So now the big question at quarterback, obviously, is the one that I alluded to earlier, is does Spencer Sanders play next week? After this, and as we're driving right now, seeing that Baylor is up 31-7 on Kansas, I got to think that Oklahoma State would really like to give Spencer Sanders that extra week, and then the open week to make sure he is fully healed before they put him back on the field.
Yeah, you get the sense that has to be the plan because, like Gundy said, he could have played, and we watched Spencer in warmups. He looked like Spencer. I mean, I didn't notice a limp or anything like that as he moved around the field. I didn't even notice a special wrap or anything on his ankle.
Right.
Which maybe they do something different if he's actually going to play.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I think, I mean, we all dog on Kansas, right? But I think that if there's a game you can get away with not playing Spencer again for a second straight week in the Big 12, Baylor or not, Kansas might be it.
Like, it might be.
You know, that might be the place that you could say, you know what, I think we can sit Spencer next to the sad Jayhawk and go about our business.
Yeah. Unless he's really, really really close to playing today.
Yeah.
And can go through a full week of practice without any issues. Because, I mean, an ankle injury can be something that resurfaces really easily, and so you want to make sure that's fully healed before you you head back out there, so that it's not not tweaked in a minor way that becomes a major setback. So,
do you think Spencer's any like superstitious at all, because he got hurt against Kansas last year?
That's right, he did.
So maybe he should sit this one out.
Maybe so. May never know. I wonder how he feels about that. Speaking of that, superstitions. Until Chuba Hubbard scored his touchdown at the end of the game, I thought we were going to have the same final score as West Virginia last year, 20-13.
Oh yeah.
But Chuba went ahead and put that away. So that was
with a backup quarterback. It would have been the same score with a backup quarterback.
With the backup quarterback the week after Spencer Sanders got hurt.
That'd be interesting.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Spooky.
Yes. I think the way to go is to play it safe right now, unless you just feel really confident in that ankle, and I don't know that they do. I don't know.
I also think it goes back to the offensive line. I think you give them another week to figure it out.
Right, another week to
so
gel.
So you can protect Spencer a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kansas is a week you can use to figure it out with the offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly seems that way. And obviously, you don't want to be one of these teams that comes out on the wrong end of a wildly unexpected upset, like we've seen. I mean, we've seen them so far in college football this year. We've seen multiple crazy upsets. So it's definitely possible. But I think if you can hold him out. And give him that extra week following, and have him ready to go when you go down to Baylor. I think that's the ideal scenario.
Yeah, and you could have him ready to go next week and just have him there as kind of a safety measure.
Say
Illingworth really struggles, maybe you go to Bullock first and see maybe if he can get something going. If not, then you say, all right, we have to go with Spencer because we need to win this game.
Right. Exactly. You hope that you don't put yourself in that situation where you're having to go to a third string quarterback to try to win a game at Kansas.
Yeah, you hope. I would like to think that Kansas might be the cure all for any offensive woes that people see with OSU right now. But,
right, absolutely.
You know, this is a weird season, so it's hard to predict.
It is. It absolutely is. All right. Well, let's wrap this up with my favorite question. The biggest thing, the most important thing I forgot. Anything on the list? Anything we didn't talk about?
You know what? I'm going to say Calvin Bundage.
That is a good one.
Knowles was glowing about him afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
As he should be. But I will say we saw a little bit of the good and the bad from Calvin.
We did. We saw all of Calvin Bundage
today. We did. We got the full dose of Calvin Bundage. He had a... Was it a third down offsides? There was an offsides at some point.
Yeah, he had an offsides. He had
he had the third down hit to the head.
Yes.
Of the quarterback, the roughing the passer.
Right.
But then he had a couple. He had one or two sacks.
Yeah.
The stats in front of me. I'm the one driving here. you know, and he got to the quarterback a lot too.
Yeah,
so
he was back there creating
the
pressure.
Good and the bad, and I know people tweeted at me that they didn't think that was a roughing the passer penalty, but it was the definition of a hit to the head.
Right.
As hard or soft as it was, he was at the head.
Yes.
I thought
he was about to get another one on a later play where they ended up throwing a flag for something on West Virginia. I don't remember what the call was that they flagged him for. Maybe it was an ineligible receiver downfield or something like that.
So, but Calvin has been a bright spot coming off his back injury.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he has. You know, the penalties are just going to happen. He's gets up to the line and gets so anxious that won a game. You're probably gonna see.
He rubbed off on Trace Ford there for a moment early in the game too. Trace did it early, and I had to
get out the binoculars just to check. I was like, was that Trace or was that Calvin?
Well, they were both on the field at the same time.
They were.
They were on each edge.
Yeah,
and
they were.
And Trace won that one, so he got the penalty that time. So, you know, the little Santa Fe guys there are,
you know,
a little anxious, but they're game changers too. So
yeah, they are. They really are. I mentioned that Trace had the. strip on the scoop and score for Tyron Irby. He was in the backfield all day. It felt like pushing guys around and
he got Vincent Taylor tweeting about him.
He did. Had Taylor tweeting about him. All excited about seeing number 94 doing some damage out there. So
all I'm going to say is OSU fans need to enjoy Trace Ford while he's there.
Absolutely.
He's not there 4 or 5 years.
No, he's not. He's definitely not going to be there long. Incredibly talented player and so much fun to watch when he's coming off the edge. They had him lined up in the middle a lot today. Mm-hmm. In the middle on the line. You know, we've seen him do that middle linebacker position. But they had him in the middle in a stand-up rush position. It was kind of an interesting look that they threw out there today.
He's their Swiss Army knife.
He really is. He really is.
It's so fun to watch.
He can come from anywhere. Love to see the different things that Jim Knowles does with him and with Bundage, using them both in a lot of different ways. So I expect that to continue and become more complex as the season goes along, because they really haven't had to get incredibly creative yet to fire up that pass rush, especially not today. So good stuff. All right. Anything else that I forgot? Was there a second most important
thing I forgot?
All right,
we're
fire
keep
away.
Keep this going for a second. Bear with
That's
us,
good.
Listener. Alex Hale.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That dude is coming up clutch to start his career.
5 of 5, 44 and 40 today.
Yes.
I mean, those aren't easy kicks.
No, big time good. He's 5 of 5. 3 of his 5. Are 40 or longer now at this point.
That's impressive.
And today it was windy. It was an awkward wind too. It was kind of a crosswind coming in. I don't know how much what the wind does on the end of the field where he was kicking on the east end. But that's where the openings are, where the wind can get in over there. So I would assume that there's some wind to have to deal with on that end. And he drilled them both. Was perfect again.
Yeah,
so
Jake McClure does the kickoffs, right? So
yes.
He was great with kickoffs today. A lot of the end zone.
Yeah.
Tom Hutton, I thought, looked really good. Special teams looked really good right now for Oklahoma State. But really, Alex Hale has been really the one clicking.
Really bright spot for considering you knew nothing about what he might be.
Yeah, not
this
a clue.
It wasn't even a guy that you could point back to his high school career and say, oh, he was really good in high school. He didn't play football in high school.
Yeah, so
it's fascinating and really interesting to see how it's developing. So that was good stuff. Is there a third most important thing that I forgot?
I think I'll end it there. I think we've got it covered.
All right. I think we do.
I just had to throw a shout out to the kicker.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the Aussie doing well. Fun stuff, and love to get to tell more about his story later on. Not just on the podcast, but in the newspaper.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't write about kickers too often, but there's got to be something there.
Every now and then, you got to throw them a bone when they're earning the respect.
They're like a reliever in baseball. You don't really write about them until it's really necessary.
Exactly. Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. He's Jacob Unruh. I'm Scott Wright. Thanks to Paige and Dave back in the studio for putting this all together. And thank you for listening to the Cowboy Chronicles podcast.